Thank you, Bev, for reading that from the message. It is valuable to hear things in a slightly different way. One of the things I've done over the years is I've read the Bible through in a number of different translations. I think I've read 13 different ones over the years. Read it through in a year, it just gives you a different way to look at things. And I appreciate the different perspectives that we get. And in a very similar way, that's one of the reasons why we get together here, is so you can hear a different perspective, the perspective I might have, which might be slightly different. Whenever we're dealing with well-known texts, stories from the Bible that perhaps we first heard in Sunday school or on a... How many of you have a flannel graph of Naaman in your memory bank going into the river or some other thing like... Yeah, exactly. Nothing wrong with it. It still sticks with me to today. I don't know how long that was. More than 50 years, I think. But still, the story of Naaman is a fascinating one, and it's where we get the sermon title, which is probably no surprise to anybody. Sometimes it is easy. There's something about human beings that just insist on making things harder than it should be. Not always. Sometimes we take the easy way out. But have you ever noticed that the easy way out almost always ends up being harder anyway? You know, that whole idea that there may not be time to do it right, but there's always time to do it twice, that kind of idea. And so we have the story of Naaman, an interesting story by any standard. It's stuck in there in the middle of, or the beginning of 2 Kings, and it's a story about somebody who is not just not a Jew, not just not an Israelite, but one of the people who's actually attacked Israel, Judah, and caused problems to the point where they've even stolen a young Israelite girl and taken her away to be a servant, possibly even a slave, who knows. So Naaman has got everything you might possibly want. In this translation it says, he was a great man in the sight of his master, that's the king of Aram, and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. And we begin to see already that the author of Kings is saying, don't forget that God's in control of things, not just what you want. God's in control of everything. And God's the one who gave Naaman what he needed to win a victory on behalf of the king of Aram. A valiant Lord soldier, but he had leprosy. Now, they say use leprosy as just a shorthand for anything that was wrong with you on the outside of you, any kind of skin problem from acne, obviously, to leprosy, to what's now called Hansen's disease. And so we have all of these things going on with Naaman. Great success on one hand, a real problem on the other. I don't know exactly what the rules were in Aram about being around somebody with leprosy, but I'm guessing they were similar to in Israel. You just stayed away. At a bare minimum, it would be something that would keep you sort of socially distant from at least some people. So you can see why this was a problem. And so Naaman's wife's servant, this young girl, says, if only your husband would go and see the prophet who's in Samaria, and he would cure him. Now, obviously, there's some kind of relationship going on here, because the wife didn't just smack the servant and say, be quiet. No, obviously related to Naaman. Naaman went to the king and said, hey, there's this guy in Samaria who might be able to heal me. No. So the king writes a letter, one king to another, saying, I hear you've got this great guy. Heal my servant and all will be well. Okay. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? We're being reminded again here that the kings at that time of Israel and Judah were not that great. And they often forgot important things. Because it doesn't say here that you have to be God. Now, admittedly, the king of Aram may have written that you, king of Israel, will in fact cure Naaman. But still, how can I do that? He's just trying to pick a quarrel for me. He's just trying to start a war that I know I can't win. This news gets back to this prophet. We all know who it is, Elisha, who says, look, what have you torn your clothes for? What's wrong with you? Haven't you learned anything? Tell him to come here and he will find out that there is in fact a man of God in this nation. So, Word gets back. Naaman comes with his entourage. No idea whether it was two or three or 200 or 300. People went around with a lot more people in tow at that point. Comes to the door. Elisha sends out a messenger. Doesn't even come to the door. Sends out somebody and says, hey, go dip yourself in the River Jordan 7 times. You'll be fine. And probably just close the door. Naaman has a cow. And you can see why. I mean, this Naaman is probably like number two, number three in the entire kingdom where he comes from. Like maybe there's a crown prince who's higher in esteem, but probably not. This is a big guy. I was trying to think of a similar person that we have. We really don't have one. I don't know. Maybe in the U.S. Maybe the vice president of the United States or something like that. Maybe Prince William in the U.K. I don't know. Somebody big, expecting something, doesn't get even close. So he stomps off in a rage, an understandable rage, to be sure. And then his servants ask him a question. And it's another opportunity for us to see that these servants obviously had some sense that they weren't just going to be annihilated by Naaman when they bring up something he probably doesn't want to hear. And the question they ask after a little bit of preamble is, if you'd been asked to do something really difficult, wouldn't you have done that? And then the second question is, why don't you do this? And that's where this whole sometimes it is easy comes from. And that's a bit of a misleading sermon title. And I kind of like sermon titles now and then that go in slightly different directions. Sometimes it is easy, but is it really easy? In this case, we have Naaman, somebody who has immense power, being told to do something he doesn't want to do. Now, I don't know what the Jordan River looked like then. The impression you get from Naaman is he thinks it's a dirty little stream, sort of like Wascana Creek, which I wouldn't step my foot in either. And he talks about these other beautiful rivers at home that he could do something. And for that matter, why didn't the guy come out and wave his arms and call on God and fix him? Well, did he ask you to do anything really hard? No. But see, the thing is, Naaman is somebody who's been doing really hard things all of his life. He's been a general, he's been in battles, he's been in wars, he's been successful all over the place. He doesn't like doing things that are easy, and I suspect he doesn't like obeying orders very much, especially not a stupid order like this one, to go dunk himself in a dirty little Samaritan river. But give Naaman credit. He listens to his servants, he listens to people who can't force him to listen, which is a lesson for all of us. And then he does it. Well, the word for what this action is humility. Humility, not humiliation. Naaman isn't being humiliated. Naaman is choosing to humble himself and take direction from somebody else. And not just direction from somebody else, but secondhand direction from that person. Naaman has looked at what he needs and is willing to humble himself to get what he wants, to get what he needs. And he gets it. This is another one of those opportunities for us to be reminded that God helps those who help themselves is nowhere in the Bible. It's strongly alluded to that God helps those who help themselves right into disaster, because that's what happens when we try to take care of ourselves. But we have somebody here, Naaman, who is spiritually acute enough to realize that even though he doesn't want to do something, it's the thing that needs to be done. And yes, it's easy on the one hand, but it's actually kind of difficult on the other hand. And that's what humility often is. Humility is a sign of great strength on the one hand, because humility is knowing who you are and where you are and what your responsibilities are and all of those things and being willing to do them. The difficulty is that sometimes humility means that you need to wash the floor, that you need to do some job that you might not want to because it needs to be done and you're there and you can do it. It's like that story of the reporter looking for Mother Teresa and asking the cleaning woman where Mother Teresa was, and she said, well, I'm right here. So why are you washing the floor? Because the floor needed to be washed. That's humility. Humility is doing what needs to be done, even if other people look at it as an imposition or as you taking on a lower role. Because the person with true humility, in a very real sense, doesn't care what you think. Because what you think is irrelevant. Because what needs to be done is what needs to be done. And the person of humility understands that. Sometimes it means you get to stand up in front and people listen to you. But often it means spending a lot of time trying to figure out what something means. Humility means admitting your ignorance when you have it. All of these things are represented in Naaman. Someone we wouldn't expect of this. If we read further on in the story, we see that Naaman's had a profound experience because he asks permission that when he goes with the king and the king goes to worship whatever god the king worships, if Naaman bends his knees a little, is that okay? And Elisha says, yeah, sure, whatever. He asks for some dirt from Samaria to take back so he can worship the true God on the land, on the dirt from the land where he met. These are the actions of somebody who understands his place in the world and is willing to do whatever it takes, even maintaining that place in whatever way he can. Humility is what lets you do something that might even cost you something on the other end, because it's the right thing to do. It's not easy being humble. At least it's not easy for me. I find it hard to admit ignorance. I find it hard to ask for help, for heaven's sake. But every time I do, it reminds me, not that I'm a worm, because I'm not a worm any more than any of you are. It reminds me that I have a place in the world, but it's not all the places in the world. Naaman had a position of profound authority, but not over everything. He couldn't cure himself. And yes, it took him a moment or two to realize that if he wanted the outcome he wanted, he was going to have to humble himself and go dunk himself in a river that he didn't want to. But the humble person has a strength of character that allows us to do those things, to go and dip ourselves in a river that we wouldn't choose, to wash the floor of the facility that we run. All of those things, because we have this deep inner sense of who we are and where we are and what we're called to do. And if somebody else doesn't get it, it just doesn't matter. If that reporter who had gone to meet Mother Teresa had come back and written a story about what a stupid old woman she was to wash the floor, do you think she would have cared? I don't think so. If some private in Naaman's army, or for that matter, if his second-in-command would have sort of sneered at him and said, you actually went into the Jordan, do you think Naaman would have curled up in a corner? No. One of the things that we get from humility, when we exercise humility, is we often get a profound experience with God who says, this is who you are. Not what you're doing, but by humbling yourself, by serving other people, you begin to understand that God loves you always. Your service isn't what makes God love you. God loved you before that, but what it does is it helps you realize that when you do things that are perhaps beneath you in your own eyes or someone else's, God doesn't care, and you don't have to either. Sometimes it is easy, and sometimes it's easy on both ends, but when it's only easy on the action and not the outcome, let's take a note from Naaman, let's follow his example, and if you need to stomp off in a rage first, Naaman was still cured at the end, so maybe if it takes you a moment to come to grips with it, I think that's probably okay. But let's spend some time looking at the things we are called to do, easy or hard, and saying, if this is what I've been called to do, I will with humility do it, because that's who I am, and God will be with me no matter what. Amen.